Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
As always, we promise to deliver the biggest names in sports, and I'm so honored to be alongside a gentleman who is always fixated on the process of taking his Dallas Mavericks to the next level. Of course, we're talking about the general manager and the president, Donnie Nelson. Donnie, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, Alyssa. High five, Alicious.
Absolutely. Well, there is a lot of mystique to this particular season on how it is going to unfold with the reconstructed roster, and you guys have already had to navigate through some injuries, but you've teased us a bit with a win against the Lakers and against Portland. How do you think everything's going to fill out?
It's been a really interesting preseason and first, you know, part of the regular season. You know, Rick has done an unbelievable job. He's got 9 new faces out there. He's pushing a lot of buttons. These guys haven't played a lot together. And so, and then having, you know, gone over the homecoming situation with Dirk over in Europe kind of threw us another little twist, but the guys used that as an opportunity to really kind of get to know themselves, get to know each other, rather, like off the court. We didn't have a lot of practice time, so we honestly were a little concerned coming into, you know, locking horns with the LA Lakers that early in the season. But they stepped up the test when the bright lights came on, the boys showed up, and so far, so good. They're playing like they've played together for the last couple years.
You know, you bring up head coach Rick Carlisle, and I think back to the month of September in the preseason when he cautioned all of us that it's not where you start on day one, but where you finish on day 181. And it's a systematic process. It's going to take some time to develop, correct?
Well, that's what we thought. But, you know, and again, it's, you know, this is not enough of a sampling to really garner exactly what we have, but it's a good start. We'll take it. We do think, you know, we've been shooting the ball really well, which covers up a lot of sins in the NBA. But the guys have really come together, and in short order, they've, you know, really they've won some games against some pretty darn good opponents. Certainly, we're on a little homestand here, so we want to take advantage of that. And then the whole game plan is to hold the fort down until, you know, the German cavalry comes over the hill and can take everything we're doing to a different level.
And you know, Donnie, we are only 2 years removed from winning a world championship. And when you think back to that season, you know, Dirk missed 9 games. Caron Butler was out. But it was about your team getting hot at the right time, the team camaraderie, and never, ever underestimate the resolve of a Rick Carlisle team.
Yeah, you know, we're blessed. We've always had really good chemistry here. And it's a result of, you know, Mark and Rick and myself, you know, really trying to get good character guys in that locker room. You know, we've had our quote-unquote, you know, Dennis Rodman moments where we'll take a chance on someone. But for the most part, we've really tried to get high character people in the locker room. What happens is when you go through hard times, those guys, you know, come together instead of fraction apart. And we had a tough preseason. You know, it was, you know, going to Europe and having a lot of different things kind of thrown our way. But the guys really pulled together, and it's manifested itself in this start of the season.
Donnie, you are the president, you're the general manager, but you have also spent time in this league as an assistant coach and, of course, under your father. So you're always dialing up the X's and O's. What particular area would you like to see your team improve upon? You just mentioned, you know, they're shooting the ball extremely well, minimized turnovers against Portland. They only had 9 single-digit turnovers. That's fantastic. But I'm thinking about that rebounding stat. How can we improve upon that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that stands out and the one that we really have to focus in on, you know, without Dirk. And then without, you know, Chris Kaman for the start, you know, the opening of the season, it's really been an area of focus. We've had to play small. You know, Rick's really changed the lineups up. So we're really relying on, you know, the 1, the 2, and the 3, the guards and the small forwards to really take up some of the slack in that area.
You know, Donnie, you guys are facing, as you're saying, with these smaller lineups, you're facing superior length. But rebounding on the offensive end, I don't think it's necessarily so much about effort. But, I mean, that obviously is important. But getting to know the familiarity with your teammates and where their sweet spots are on the floor and where they're going to shoot the ball and when you need to pursue it, correct?
Yeah, it's there's two discussions there. One is the offensive rebound. That's really an effort stat, and that's just getting in the train of thought to go after the ball and expecting that every shot that is taken is going to be missed, and it's that mentality. So that's something that you try to ingrain in your players. In terms of, you know, the playing together, that's just going to come with time. I mean, we're still early in the season. We've shot the ball well. We've performed well, but you still have got 9 new faces, and you've got to just, you know, let that come together. Like chemistry, it really kind of seeks its own level.
The Dallas Mavericks right now stand at 3-1, and you've mentioned head coach Rick Carlisle. It's hard to believe he's already in his 5th season here. You guys have ties that go way back in the day to Worcester Academy. I think you were a Hilltopper back in the day.
I was.
Okay.
Yes.
Talk about why you and Mark decided that he was the right man for this job, because he's been so successful, and in my biased opinion, perhaps the best coach in the NBA.
Well, I wouldn't disagree. At the time, we had gone through a very, very difficult, you know, situation where, you know, we had our arms around the trophy in 2006, and then, you know, ended up in Miami, and then the next year we had, you know, a really tough series against my dad and the Golden State Warriors, and, you know, we had Avery, that was a really solid, great, you know, young coach and a defensive-minded coach, and my dad, that was really, when he was here, he was really one of the, you know, high-octane offensive coaches, and Rick was covered a lot of ground for us. He was in the middle with emphasis on both. He was a player's coach, and for a young coach, he had racked up, you know, victories in 2 very difficult situations in Indiana and Detroit. So he had the skins. He had the experience. He had been out a year, and I think a lot of times that's a positive thing for a coach, to be able to grow, because you visit other coaches and learn. It's almost a sabbatical where you learn, different ways of doing things. And then, you know, the sealer for us was just the kind of person he is. You know, he is a terrific, high integrity guy that dates all the way back with our involvement in Worcester Academy, as you mentioned. So. It was a fairly easy decision, and I, you know, set up the meeting, and Mark obviously signs off on everything that we do here. So he and Mark hit it off, and we signed him.
Let's look at some of the players, because anytime I talk to some of the season ticket holders that are my friends, they're like, we want to learn more about all these fresh faces, the 9 new players that are a part of the Dallas Mavericks. And right at the top, how about Darren Collison? I had a chance to talk to his college coach, Ben Howland, and a number of things that he pointed out. He's such a coachable guy, but how much he loves the game of basketball. He's a gym rat. He was excited about his fob key and the fact that he could come over here and shoot hoops at 2:00 in the morning.
Well, Ben's a longtime friend, his college coach, and you know, when you get reports like that from people that are like family, it really hammers home that, you know, what you're seeing on the court is really, you know, what you're getting in the locker room. Those are big shoes to fill. I mean, you're talking about guys like Steve Nash and, you know, guys like Jason Kidd, and to have a young, you know, fairly young, you know, player to step into those shoes, it's a tall task. And to learn a new system, you know, 9 new faces. Well, actually, for him, it's all the faces are new. So he has done a terrific job learning on the fly. His work ethic is second to none. And the early snapshot is, you know, he's playing about as good as you can play. Stepping into those big shoes.
Another player we definitely have to highlight that has really transformed his body, his look. He spent time with the Tennessee Titans strength and conditioning coach, has added weight about, 10, 15 pounds, is Brandon Wright. And just seeing how he is extending his game from the outside, shooting it, putting the ball on the floor, it's really fantastic and gives you a whole new dimension in the paint.
Brandon is, when we got him, you know, we were really excited, and we were excited that we had 2 years with him, because he had been injury prone. He was the 5th pick in the draft from a great program in North Carolina. He had just fallen on some difficult times. So we signed him to a 2-year deal, knowing that the first year it was going to, you know, to get him healthy and get him back and get his confidence going. And then this year he's taken it to a whole different level. He's, you know, making his shots. He's provided, you know, shot blocking for us and rebounding, but his athleticism for a man in that frame is second to none. And like you mentioned, the added weight this year is really paying off. He's our born and raised in Nashville. He's our Nashville cat, and he's playing some sweet music right now.
Only one more player that we're going to talk about, and you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And you talk about a young man that has really embraced that opportunity is Jay Crowder. Of course, his father, Corey, played in the NBA, but he has a bring-it-on mentality. He's not afraid to step in the lane and take a charge or, you know, hit that shot from outside.
Yeah, and you know, when he flips his hair like that, look out, because that's his best weapon. No, he's Jay is a guy that's come in. He has got a ready-made NBA body, and he does everything. He rebounds. He is a terrific passer. He knows how to play the game, and all of a sudden he's starting to shoot the three out there and making it and looking like he knows what he's doing. We had no idea. You know, usually that takes a year or two to really become an NBA threat at the three, and he's doing it in the first couple weeks, and it looks legit. So he's a guy that can also play multiple positions, and Rick's doing a great job sliding him in at the small forward. You know, in the absence of Dirk, he's had to play some power forward, and he is answering the bell no matter where Rick sticks him. So it's he's been probably the biggest surprise of the training camp in the early season.
I mentioned Jay's father, of course, played in the NBA, but what about your father? This is such a special time for the Nelson family. How does it feel to be the son of a basketball Hall of Famer?
This summer has been incredible. I mean, when you start out, you know, Dad at the tender age of 72, graduating from the University of Iowa, mm-hmm. and walking with all the kids, I mean, that was just very, very special and unique. And we all went back to the Quad Cities. That's where my mom and my dad are from, and had a chance to have a really cool family reunion. And he had to wait, whatever, 50-some-odd years in order to get, you know, the diploma and turn the tassel and whatnot. And then shortly thereafter, you know, to be able to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You know, it's a lifelong commitment that he's made from playing and then coaching. And to have that honor is just really the cherry on top.
I have to share with you that I was so touched by his Hall of Fame speech. He relived the memories of Michael Finley and Dirk and Steve Nash. But when he talked about the fact that he's had the opportunity to work with you, and he said, if you ever have an opportunity to work with your son, do it. It's a great privilege. What was going through your mind when you heard that?
Yeah, you know, look, he conducts business the same way he conducted our dinner table. And so it was an easy transition. You know, it was an honor for me. I mean, if it wasn't for my dad, not only would I not be sitting here talking to you, I'd probably be coaching high school basketball someplace. So my career, I really owe to him. But the most important thing is, you know, the life lessons, the integrity, you know, by which, you know, you raise your family. And for that, I'll be forever grateful.
One more quick point I want to bring up about your dad is when he was talking about his NBA career, of course, you know, so had a terrific career at Boston, but his time in L.A., he had a chance to play with Elgin Baylor and Jerry West, and it made me think about when you have followed his career. I heard Jerry West give the commencement speech at West Virginia when his son played for Bobby Huggins, and he talked about that there are three different types of people in life. There are floaters, fleers, and fighters, and your father is a fighter. I mean, he's overcome so much, and he beat prostate cancer.
Yeah, I tell you, the latter was the toughest battle. You know, early on, he was cut by the Chicago Zephyrs and then, you know, picked up by the L.A. Lakers. And then he was cut by the Lakers and, you know, had to go back to the, you know, Quad Cities and do manual labor until Red Auerbach called him out of the blue. And then, you know, he hit the... hit the Celtics, and then the rest is history. You know, five championships and part of those great teams with Havlicek and Cowens and such. But it's really a tribute to the American spirit, you know, and that's why, you know, our country is, in my opinion, president-proof and everything other proof, because it's the mentality by which we approach life and in business and sports. And it's that never-say-die attitude. No matter what the odds are, you can overcome. That's really what's made him the man he is today.
Which is a beautiful segue to our final discussion point. And I want to talk about this brand-new film and documentary that is out, The Other Dream Team. It's something very close to your heart. Tell us about it.
Well, it is the American dream. It's just happened in a country in Lithuania. And basically, in 1992, little country of Lithuania, they called it the Runaway Republic, brought down one of the darkest political forces in history, the then Soviet Union, and it was Russian tanks rolling up the streets against, you know, single-shot rifles and dump trucks and pitchforks, and it was the way that our country was born. You know, and what happened was in a weird, strange, wild trip, you know, with a little touch from Jerry Garcia in The Grateful Dead. We ended up going to the Barcelona Olympics, winning the bronze medal against the unified team, which was the Soviet Union team. And as a tribute to the Grateful Dead, who not only gave us those crazy tie-dye t-shirts, but also helped financially get us from A to B because the country of Lithuania was bankrupt, we wore tie-dye on the medal stand as a tribute to them who for believing in us when no one else would. So it's the story of the American dream. It's the story of, really, it's a tribute to the military, because what happens in that movie is what would happen to any freedom-loving country when the protection's taken away. And it's a tribute to all those things. It's a great movie. It's a documentary, as you mentioned. I was very, very proud to be, you know, a fly on the wall of that whole experience, and it completely changed my life.
Who would have thought that The Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia would have been the sixth player out there on the floor with all the support that you provided? And my final question for you is, how did that change you as far as personally, professionally, even spiritually, to go through something like that and have a deeper sense of awareness of the freedoms that we have in our country?
Well, I was a kid. I was in my, you know, mid to early 20s, and all of a sudden you're taken from America and you're thrown into the Soviet Union, where you're, you know, there's no churches, there's no freedom. You know, people are watched by the KGB and reported in other neighbors by other neighbors that it's about the most opposite situation that you can imagine. You know, where you're. You've got no freedom. You're worried about public safety. You can walk in public and such. It was very difficult, you know, for folks back then that actually went through that. But I would highly suggest that if you're, you know, young mom and dad or have young kids and you want to teach them about the price of freedom and what it's like, you know, to be in a country that doesn't have the protections that we have and the freedoms that we have. It's a great movie, and the ending is the best, because today Lithuania is free to vote. They're their own country, and like I said, they brought down one of the darkest political forces in history, and it's just a great documentary.
Well, I'm a mother of two young sons. I definitely look forward to watching the film and having them be a part of it too. So, Donnie, many thanks, we look forward to the remainder of the season.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Be sure and join us online at eRadioSports.com for more exclusive interviews.